I forgot to mention seedlings, those little ones, they go out for children's church or what we call seedlings now. They should go if they haven't already done so, and if you'd sign the registers of friendship that are in the middle of your aisle, you want to get credit for this one, okay, right, okay? So make sure you get to sign the registers of friendship, if you would. We are glad, again, that you're here. Take your scriptures and kind of an afterglow of Christmas here, appropriately so, as you will see as we unpack this morning's text. But Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Matthew's account here in chapter 2. Is reminiscent of the artwork that we have. I was helping put this up on the wall and recalling that it was here when I came in 82. And whoever knows where this artwork came from, let's read Matthew chapter 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We've seen his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem. This is what the prophet has written. For you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May God add his blessing to this, his word. So here we are. We stand on the threshold of a new year. And most of us, as we look into a new year, we think of new beginnings and opportunities to maybe start some things over, to overcome a habit or start a new habit or do a better job in areas of everything from parenting to being a better spouse to losing weight, which, by the way, I understand by the polls is still the number one resolution that people make. And but developing new priorities, and doing better in certain areas, just a host of things that we as people want to change as we come into a new year. And yet I think a new year is more than just resolutions. I think it's a time for us to reflect, a time for us to think, a time for us to, again, maybe do evaluation. We're doing that as a church, and hopefully you're bringing the questionnaires that we sent out. But it is good for us from time to time to stop and to reflect and to analyze and to look at priorities and values and pursuits and ask the question, who am I? What do I want? What's the purposes of life? And as we do that, what we're really touching on in a very real way is this whole matter of stewardship that I want to talk about today. of how we use time, talents, and treasures. And I want to just talk briefly, appropriate to the season, about these wise men that come from the East. And we're not going to unpack the whole story, but as it pertains to the purpose of this whole matter of stewardship. For us to understand that these magi from the East, they sought this king that was reflected in that star. And they did so. They sought him with their time and their talents and their treasures. Okay, now we know as church people a lot about these wise men, these magi from the East. We talk about so often during the Christmas season or shortly after the Christmas season, as appropriately so, as you'll see. And many times we think of them or refer to them as kings, but that's really incorrect. They were more king makers, to be exact. And there were not three of them, in spite of the song that we're going to sing here in a little while. But they brought, of course, three gifts, which may not have defined their number. But I want to talk on this last day of 2017 about our becoming wise and being like those magi. We, of course, don't have the opportunity to become before the Christ child as they did. But we have every bit of capability to use our stewardship of worship of him. And for us to understand that stewardship is about everything of us. Everything. See, these wise men, these magi, yes, they came with frankincense and myrrh and gold and all that. But when you really think of it, they came with their time, they came with their talents, they came with their treasures. I mean, think of the whole matter of their talents for a moment. And to do that, we have to ask a question and remind ourselves who these magi were. They were professors. They were philosophers. They were some of the most brilliant and highly educated scholars of their day. And they were trained and studied in medicine and history and not to mention religion and prophecy and astronomy and also astrology. Now, astrology has gotten a bad rap in today's terms for good reasons, don't get me wrong. But back in the beginning, it was connected with man's search for God. And they were studying the skies for the questions of who am I and why am I here? That's my point. And so all of this, of who these magi were, all of these talents, all of these abilities, all of these capabilities were managed, were given in this search of these magi for the king of the Jews. Okay? Their talents were being used. And so these highly influential Persians, these advisors to the king, not king, but king makers, so to speak, they used talents. Now, their talents alone, just being students of the sky, would not have brought them to the place where they came to find Jesus. But when they saw the star, they weren't frightened, they weren't freaked out. They began to seek that star and seek the meaning for that star and use all of who God had made them to be. And again, they would have not found it just by virtue of the star. But years before, if you remember, God in his sovereignty caused the Jews and the Persians to intermingle for hundreds of years. Remember the exile? the exile, where God's people were carried off to Babylon. Daniel finds place there and God's favor there in a place of exile, and because of his talents of dream and understanding dreams and visions, because of the understanding that God gave him, he had favor. And when we look into the book of Daniel, he was appointed head over the Magi of that generation. And so since the time of Daniel, the Persians would know the Jewish expectation of a Messiah. They might have, very well, have access to the scriptures because of the exiles and because of Daniel. They might have also known Daniel's prophecies of 70 weeks in Daniel 9 for the approximate coming of that king. And so their talents was an extension of what they had seen even within the Old Testament scriptures. And they used all of these resources. And by their talents, they would have known that what Daniel wrote about a coming king when he lived in that region. Interesting enough, Ezekiel was penned in that region as well, and even some of the Psalms were Psalms of the exiles. And so it's very possible that these studied men even know the prophecy of Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, where it says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel." These wise men used their talents. But they also used their time. And large amounts of time. A huge investment. Because when they saw that star, they knew that the journey would take them a long way, and they put together an expedition of great scope. Camels carrying the things that we would need for a wilderness trip across adverse conditions. It's probably good that you came in adverse conditions today. Because they braced themselves and prepared themselves with no back door or common conveniences. Weeks and months of time undoubtedly was given to the planning of that trip to make sure that their hunch was right and they were being led in the right manner. And they put together those servants and those ones that would allow them to make that journey with a, you know, and I don't even know what, you know, a gallon cost to keep a camel going back then, huh? It took a lot of time and a lot of preparation. In fact, when we look at Matthew's account a little further beyond where we read, we see that it probably was up to 18 months or even more. How do we know that? If we look at verse 16, we see the whole matter of Herod nailing down by what they shared with them of when they saw that star and they started their search and they started their preparation, and then they figured, and then of course him wanting to eliminate any possibility of a threat to his throne, killed all the male children, 2 years of age and younger. 18 months of time they gave. And then there was the treasure, gold, most fitting for a king. And they brought that to baby Jesus. As I said, they were not kings, but they were king makers. And they acknowledge him as king and his worth of gold and his worth of worship. And we can't meet Jesus on equal footing, but surely we should come and adore him and come on bended knee just as those wise men, understanding that he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. Wise men still seek him and worship him. And so they brought frankincense, another treasured gift for the Son of God. Frankincense was a priestly gift, okay? Priests used it in the temple, used fragrance offered in worship to God. It was this gummy substance that would be kept in a jar or pottery or some kind of container. And it was derived from this species of a rare tree that was rare and valuable because it was used in worship. And of course, in a time where there was no air fresheners, there was no deodorant, and bathing was a privilege, it raised the value of that frankincense. And then besides that was the myrrh, a very interesting thing, embalming dead bodies, a very valuable commodity of itself. The town Smyrna was named because there was a factory and production of myrrh in that particular village. But what a strange gift for a baby in the manger. But they brought more than the gifts they bore. They brought all of the cost that it would take to bring together such an expedition. And such a journey, they crossed deserts, they crossed mountaintops, they were endangered themselves with bandits. And all of it came with a great cost. And so time and talents and treasures those wise men brought. And before we leave the wise men, before we leave Christmas, I just want to sing that hymn, We Three Kings. And then we're going to come back to the message for some application for us today. But it's found in your hymnals if you want it. Otherwise, we're going to have it on the screen. And 206, We Three Kings. And you can remain standing, or sitting as we sing.
Still. of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, sound through the earth. Oh, star of wonder, star. Star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us with a perfect light.
So on these last, the last day of 2017, in the season after Christmas, I want those wise men to be a little bit of an inspiration to us, because they really use this whole matter of whole life stewardship. And when I start talking about stewardship, all kinds of defenses go up. Ah, pastor's going to be asking for money. And we shut down. Please don't do that. Because stewardship is so much more than our money, okay? For us to understand that stewardship is managing all that God gives us, and he gives us everything. A stewardship starts all the way back in the garden, all the way back at creation, okay? All the way back in Genesis, before the fall into sin, Adam becomes a steward of all that was created. It wasn't his. It wasn't even necessary for him. It was for the glory of God. As is everything that he was given. And we're no different than he. And so stewardship is managing what God gives us. And so classically, it's hard to talk about everything, but that would be a good application, but we don't have that kind of time. And so most classically, we do talk about these same three things that we see with those wise men, those magi. Even in the story of Jesus as they came, they leveraged, they managed, they planned with everything they had. Okay? So I want us to take some stock. I want us to do some evaluation on this end of 2017 and as we go into a new year of 2018. And this whole matter of stewardship of time. You know, of the three, that's the one of the three where we're all kind of on the same footing. We all have the same 24-hour period in a day, right? 60 minutes in an hour. And so we're all kind of on the same wavelength here. I realize by Psalms 139 that we don't know as God does our beginning and our end, and that might differ, but from the standpoint of day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year, we really have the same. What are we doing with it? How have I used it? How does God call me to use it? And when we think of time, let's start with being on time. Not today, maybe. There's a lot of stuff going on today. A normal day. A normal day of worship. What I know about us, because it's also true about me, and I'm not different than you, pastor to parishioner, is we manage, we're stewards of all the things that we hold as really, really important. And so we're there on time for work, for the most part, or we probably hear about it. And if we're going to go to a concert or we're going to go to a sporting event, you know, we're going to go way early and we're going to have, you know, all the things that we need to enter into that event in the best of way, in the most full. Is that how we seek Him? Week to week in worship. What have you been and what is God calling you to? For time, as far as it pertains to being on time. What about time off? Time off. This gift that God gives us by way of the Sabbath. Are we stewards of that? Are we managing that according to what the word leads us in? I hear so many times, well, I can't be there, pastor, because I got this, I got that. Do you realize that the average attendance record of the average believers, I'm not talking unbelievers here and unchurched folk or anything like that, that I'm talking about us. Okay, talking about us. The average attendance in a given month is 2.3 times in worship. I don't know how they get that 0.3. Actually, I'm a mathematician. I know how they get that, I guess. Okay. But that's not us. Interesting. You know, pastors get to see things and we track things that maybe parishioners don't pay a lot of attention to. I thought it was very interesting that the Sunday after Thanksgiving, okay, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, keep in mind all that happens at that season, we had some of the largest attendance that we ever had in this last year, 230-something, okay? It happened to be when we had the dress rehearsal for the kids program, which was going to be the week after, and everybody showed up. The week after, even more showed up, right? Grandpas and grandmas and all that. We had 290 in worship. And so back-to-back weeks of just wonderful attendance. What do you think happened on the 10th of December, 1 week later? 150. Maybe we're not so different than the statistic. And yet, for us to understand that God gave us a gift, a steward of the Lord's day to refresh us, to renew us, and to give us the glory of His great name. It's good for us to do stock of what stewards we are with what God gives us as far as time. What about prime time? What I mean by prime time, I mean God time. I'm talking time where you pull away from everything, maybe before you start your day, or maybe at the end of your day, maybe at your lunch, or that time of devotion, that time where you're in the Word, that time when you're in the presence. Give accounting, give evaluation of you as a steward this past year, and where do you want to be in the whole matter of steward and managing your time? Well, God, besides time, we have talents, okay? Talents. When we think of our talents, we immediately think of Jesus' parable of the talents, which were really treasures in the cultural currency of Christ's day. But set that aside for a moment for sake of illustration here. This matter of talents and abilities and skills and attributes and even our personalities, which have been given from God. And we know in the story, and we know it very well, that the owner, okay, gave to the steward, to the manager, sums of talents and was going to watch what they did with it. And some buried it, and some invested it, and some wasted it. And the effort, or the application, of course, is what have you done with what God has made you to be? Those real strengths that you have. I mean, think of the three biggest attributes you have, of things that you've studied in, things that you've acquired, and things that maybe just were a gift of God in your personality or in your giftedness or whatever. Of those three, where are you using them? Where are you managing them? In the workplace? In your family, in your recreation, entertainment, in the kingdom. Take stock. Do some self-evaluation. Because you're a steward of everything that God has built in you to be. How have you managed? Where are you using it? Where are you at work? It's good to do evaluation once in a while. It's good to look at ourselves. Socrates said, a life of non-reflection is a life not worth living. Has 2017 been a life like that? Because you haven't looked deeply and asked hard questions about who are you and what are you doing with what God has given you. You know, we sometimes need to realize that things that can be done differently. We as a church, for those that are visiting, you don't know Dave Hofstede, but Dave Hofstede moved from here to Litchfield. He was our visitation chairman of our visitation committee, and just a great guy to just jump in the car, or his pickup, and go and make visits to those that were shut in and those that were maybe had a need or those were aging, and he moved away, and so, you know, we're trying to find new people to fill in that position, and I hear and I understand we can't find anybody to take that position. I go, really? Really? Visiting? Any real high-tech skill? But I understand that not everybody could do it the way that Dave did visitation, because maybe you don't have that time, maybe you don't have that personality, but there's more than one way to skin a cat. And this matter of stewardship of our gifts and our abilities and our talents is looking who God has made us to be and say, how can I do that as God wired me? You look at that kind of a job. Not everybody has to make all the visits. Somebody could take that position that is an administrator, that is a delegator, and that gets a team of people all doing just a few things, and you manage them using how God wired you for the kingdom of God. There could be some people that can't get outside of their home, and they have a wonderful phone ministry, managing a few people that have to do the visits on site, but calling on a regular basis and bringing blessing to the people, having the same result. I just say that as illustration of there are many ways to engage in the ministries of God's kingdom, but we have to be seeking to bring worship to our King, convinced that He is the one that we are looking for and who all of life is looking for, and invest and sacrifice You know, when we talk about talents, there's this rule or a statistic you hear in Christendom that 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. I think maybe we better that statistic here at Evangelical Covenant Church. I think we do. I really do. I am amazed at the way you engage. There's always some that are still sitting and need to be seeking to worship Him with what God has made them to be. And then we get to the treasures. To the treasures. And for us to understand that stewardship is not limited to the treasures, but when we talk about the treasures, we're really talking about the tithe. The tithe. And unlike what I already mentioned, in some ways, with this matter that we steward, we all have the same as well. And when I say that, some of you going, I don't have what so-and-so has down, you know, down in the end of the pew where I'm sitting, or the one in front of me. I know they have a lot more. Or maybe you're sitting and saying, I think I have more than so-and-so. But you know what? What God calls of us in this area is proportional giving. And every one of us has what God asks of us. It's 10% of whatever He gives us. 10%. And the truth of the matter of our treasure is we've all been given 10%. And guess what? Every one of us is spending it. Every one of us is giving it out. It might be to a car. It might be to a wardrobe. It might be to our recreation, fishing boat, snowmobile, a vacation plans, makeup, car salon, or hair salon, or whatever it might be. We're giving it. But are we giving it to the one who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as we're called and we're instructed? And there's so much that is given to us when we do give according to how God guides us in His Word. We all have the 10%, and we're all giving it. But we have to ask the question in 2017 and what we're going to do in 2018. Am I going to give God what He asked back for? Or am I going to short Him? Interesting. Here again, things that pastors track that maybe are a little personal for us here. Remember that large service the Sunday after Thanksgiving? One of our largest from a numerical standpoint. Now keep in mind, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, we have all just met and we have thanked the Lord for all that He has done and all that He has given us. And know what that offering was? Just a little more than half of what is needed and what is normally given. One of our lowest offerings. Isn't that interesting? Do you think maybe Black Friday had something to do with that? Or Cyber Monday? Or Small Business Saturday? Oh, maybe as we go from 2017 to 2018, we need to reevaluate. See, wise men still seek Him. Wise men still worship Him. The question is, are we going to be wise, and are we going to get the blessing? And so as we come from 2017-2018, I just want to bring this message that is introduced to us by the wise men themselves of the stewards that we are in time and talent and treasure. I don't know about you, but I want to be a person that's sold out for who Jesus is. I want to be a church that's wholeheartedly committed, because we are convinced that he, as much as those wise men were and those magi were, that he is the one that is the royal one, the one we've been waiting for, the one that everybody needs. Do we understand that? Do we believe that? It will be reflected in our day planner and our checkbook and our calendar and where we put our efforts and where we put our time. Do we love him with our whole heart? We're going to watch a YouTube video. It's a great video. The only problem is it was for 2013. So you're going to have to kind of do an adjustment, okay? But it fits so well what we're talking about here that I want to just end our service, end our time with this song and these images. Father God, Lord, we don't own anything. That's what we know for sure. What's all that we have has been graced to us by you and Almighty God. God, make us wise. Make us blessed by virtue of what we choose to do and what we give back. How we bow and worship. And we, like those wise men, seek you with everything that we have. Let 2018 be a year where we abandon it all for you, the one that we love. This we pray in Jesus' name. Let's play the video.
Out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all. Wants it all, and he says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today, he wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all, and he says, love me with your. that we'll love him. Long for child that we'll give him their own, give it all. He wants it all.
Father God, move us in our hearts to love you with all that we have and they are and all that you give us, God. Abandon those idols. God, point them out. Dig them up. Let us face the hypocrisy and live in full abandonment. God, make 2018 great. Because we live with all our being for the glory of God in this place. God, that's what we want. That's what we need. That's what you call us to. God, we just pray for the year before us. God, that you'd fill it with faith. You'd fill it with yourself. You'd just fill it with the Spirit of God for each and every one. God, let us be your steward. Your owner, your creator. You're the one that brings meaning to it all. Help us live for you. This we pray in Jesus Christ.